This is about, as you can see, I'm an academic faculty at a small university which basically teaches chiropractic and acupuncture, and also there's a certificate program in Ayurveda also. So this particular presentation is about method of teaching, research methods which really created some interest among students within these two professions. So I don't have any disclosure to make, no conflict of interest. Okay, so the background, we all know that evidence-based practice is nothing but applying best current evidence from research to decisions in practice, and as well as also in policy making. But we also know that the abilities to read and apply new research findings to practice and patient care are essential, and that although it is evidence-based care for practicing evidence-based practice, one should have this ability. Without that, it may not be possible to do that. We do also know that there are some studies in undergraduate students that have shown that people who have taken some research-based courses or research training do that does help in recruiting and retaining students within the science and technology, engineering, and mathematics disciplines, and also pursue a career in research, so which is something. So research knowledge is very important. And it has been noted that such skills really are not that great among, not only in one particular healthcare profession, right, from medical students to dental students to pharmacy students, as well as nursing students. Literature does indicate that all these four categories of students still need to improve their skills in research. And the reasons is always has been attributed to be the attitude among students for this particular course when it comes to research methods as well as interest. They always think that there is not so much interest or there is no good attitude. When it comes to research methods course, immediately people get turned off and they think that it is something not useful, something which they are not going to. I'm going to be a practitioner. Why on earth are you going to make me do research? This is something which I keep facing also in my class. So I've also read similar things in literature as well. So is it different in CAM professions? Apparently not. It's almost similar, but it is a little bit interesting. I did not find many studies within the CAM profession where they talked about the attitudes and interest among CAM students, but it's a survey conducted by Wayne et al. From New England School of Acupuncture. They conducted a survey of AOM students at two colleges, both NISA, which is New England School of Acupuncture, as well as Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, Oregon. So both these places, and then they basically surveyed in three areas where self-interest and importance of staying current with clinical research, how important it is. And number two, they asked whether there is any perceived value of research to the AOM profession in terms of from a public perspective as well as from the insurance companies. Do you think that we need to do some research? And then the third thing is about relevance of AOM research to clinical practice, whether it does help you to improve your clinical practice. Those are the three areas. And the results do indicate that students in the first year, they did feel that it is very important that we have to learn self-interest and importance of staying current with clinical research is very important. Whereas as they grew, they probably became, at the time of graduation, they felt that it is not that much important. Like only 37.1% of students felt that it is important. And whereas when it came to paying money from third-party payers, insurance companies, as well as in the terms of public, they did think that there is a value for research. So 80 to 95% of students across all years did agree that, yes, research is important in order to get paid. But when it came to relevance of AOM research to clinical practice, whether it is important for us to improve our techniques and improve the efficacy of treatments, it is like in the first year, it's all new, and they all thought, yes, yes, research is important. But then when it came to the third year, they only 40 to 50%, half of them felt that it is not important. It is being practiced for so many years, and why should research inform me to change my practice attitudes? So it's something just a little background, what we are dealing with, what kind of setup in the classroom. So students' belief in the research, in the relevance of research was basically was conflicting. So one side, they said research would improve public perception, but at the same time, they did not think that it would help in informing clinical practice. So that particular gap need to be addressed, as what the authors of this particular survey do suggest. And it's very important for us, particularly, otherwise we may not be able to improve research skills in these students. So basically, enhance research training in the curriculum, which is very important, as well as also create innovative initiatives to build research literacy. That's the key term here. It's not research capacity. And both these institutions did receive NIH funding, and so they were lucky that way to increase the research literacy among their students. So two terms which I really want to bring to your notice here, as we are talking about research literacy and research capacity. What we want in our students in the professions is the research literacy and not research capacity. We don't want them to become professional researchers. If it is, it's always good for the profession, but at least when in the research methods course, at least this is what is being ability to find, understand, and critically evaluate research. If that could be addressed and that could be reached, that's good enough. So what is the challenge in teaching research? When it comes to the usual thing everybody tells me or I hear about is it's a dry subject. What is there? It's not interesting. There's no patient, nothing. So it's a dry subject, and all this research jargon, randomization, random control, all these terminologies is something which is very hard to remember and keep up, and there is no perceived value for this, and they don't, as I mentioned in the previous survey, and also time constraint. They are bombarded with many other courses where they have to spend more time, and so coming to this, they just try to think not very important. And when to teach research, timing in the curriculum is also a challenge, whether it has to be in the very early of the program or the late end of the program. That's one, another major question which students, academic curriculum committee is always has to face with. So there are, in literature, there are some ways which, but this apathy could be overcome through some active learning methods. One of them has been problem-based learning, where students are given some problem and they work in groups in order to solve and come up with their own solutions and identify literature, and then based on that they try to solve that particular issue. So that's something which has been found to be effective. And then there are peers and experienced researchers as course facilitators within the same during the course, that also seem to have helped. And then also team teaching approach with guest lectures instead of one teacher giving lectures for all the classes, instead if there is a group of teachers talking about their teaching experiences as well as guest lecture about their research experiences, that would really create some interest in these students. And they're making the students directly conduct some small research projects if there is more time. Our course has got only 15 weeks and 2 credit unit course, which is only basically I've got 30 hours to inculcate this part and create interest as well as inculcate this research literacy in these people. So objective of this presentation is to discuss about the development and implementation of research debates as an active learning method for teaching research methods in our course for the students of both chiropractic and acupuncture students, basically to consider whether it is feasible and if it will improve, if there is a perceived value for this particular teaching approach. So it is considered as the, I'm now going to talk about the active learning method which we adopt in our school and how it has changed or how it is helpful. So it's actually basically the last final project for these students, but their work starts as early as 5th week. But it is mandatory all students, if they don't do that, then they will definitely not get through this. And they are divided into groups, small groups, where they are divided into either, depending upon the class size, either 6 or 8. And they are further divided into pro team and con team. And the beauty is they select their own topic, and I actually encourage them to come up with whatever topics they want to really research about. And so they come up with it and try to first run it by me, and then they will definitely know whether if there is any enough literature on that particular topic so that they could start go and pursue. Or some people want to come up with topics which does not have any literature support, but it is just because of their passion. So they're always encouraged to think about a little bit more outside their passion. The condition is the topic needs to be based on a clinical intervention that is within their scope of practice, if it is a chiropractor or an acupuncture student, based on whatever their profession allows them, so they are supposed to choose a topic. So each team, not a group, must utilize a minimum of 6 articles, research articles, to support their debate points. They can always use more than 6 research articles, but they have to be minimum 6, but out of which they all have to be at on the evidence-based pyramid, anything about case-control studies. So case-control cohort studies, randomized control trials, or systematic reviews, because based on this, they'll be able to make any changes if they have to determine whether a particular intervention is useful for them in their practice or not. So case series and surveys, which are at the bottom of the evidence-based pyramid, are not valid research articles for this particular project. Although they are given an entire information about all the various types of research designs and their value within the within clinical practice as well as within research, clinical research. A copy of all the articles along with critical appraisals, they just do collect first initially, and then they go through what abstracts to keep, and then they collect full text articles, and they do use critical appraisal forms, and then do a critical appraisal of all these studies, and then they have to do submit 3 days prior to the debate. So no PowerPoint is required, which is another thing, I want them to be freelancing, sitting in front of their entire class with formally dressed and on a dais, and that's that they're really presenting it to the student, rest of the class. So it's like a professional presentation, which also helps us understand their communication skills. So it is reading from their notes is allowed, because it's one of the public speaking is really the biggest concern for everybody. So I do understand. I see students like banging the desk, or sometimes shivering, or sometimes not able to speak. All that is quite natural, which happens even to us after giving so many talks too. So it's quite understood. But so I do allow them to read. So 2-page summary, what also is important, along with our presentation, at the end of the presentation, they have to submit a written report as well. So from week 6, they do start working in and turn a product, a work product, periodically, full text articles and then critical appraisal of articles and written synopsis. Little by little, they have to keep doing it, otherwise the points would be deducted. Otherwise, we cannot make them do anything. So, and the each debate, on the day of the debate, each topic is allotted 20 minutes. So there is a pro team sitting and con team sitting on the other side. And so there will be introduction of the topic for 2 minutes, and then 3.5 minutes per team discussing and putting forth their main salient features of that particular topic. And then there will be a counter arguments time and conclusory remarks for 2 minutes at the end. And then there will be question and answers, which is basically each group, each team, which in the audience turns in their question and answer questions to the faculty, and then the faculty would moderate that particular session within 5 minutes. So each non-presenting group must sit together during the debates, and they'll get 10 minutes also to confer and then come up with some questions so that they could ask these teams about their topics. So in addition, they will also vote for the best team, which really gives them an opportunity to choose what is good and what is bad. So that way there is some kind of interaction. Otherwise, audience are turned off. If they don't turn in their vote, then they don't lose points. So that somehow or the other, it's like all the time. So you could see the range of topics ranged from a wide variety, from nutrition for autism. It's all what they choose on their own, efficacy of vitamin D for osteoporosis, spinal manipulation for cervicogenic headaches, low back pain, acupuncture for hypertension, erectile dysfunction, insomnia, low back pain, and pregnancy. Is there a role for medical marijuana in healthcare? Not ease healthcare, sorry. Efficacy of vaccination and prevention of diseases. All types of topics which they would like to select and then want to debate pro and con in a group. They have to completely, it has to be substantiated with randomized controlled trials, and the group which chose, despite my cautioning them, they did want to go with efficacy of vaccinations, and there is nothing against vaccinations in randomized control trials or case control trials or cohort studies, many, to support their argument, but that is the problem. So basically, the debate goals were literature search skills, critical appraisal skills, and understand applied aspects of retrieved literature, being very mindful of limitations so that they just understand, and then basically understand professional communication, both verbal and oral communication skills were also evaluated. So that is the main purpose. So just wanted to let you know what the students' feedback was, both positive and negative. So the debates consolidated, one student mentioned that debates consolidated for me what I learned in the rest of the class. Very useful, both listening and giving them and coming up with questions, etc. Grueling and great activity. The debates were great because it forced us to do research on a topic of controversy related to our profession. It also was fun presenting and teaching the class. I thought dividing the project into specific deadlines was the best part systematically, but this gave a great opportunity to research something we can functionally and feasibly use in our future practices. Kudos. And this is something, being exposed to different topics I had no idea about. It made me more skeptical about what is population. I don't know what that expression means for that person. And I'll do more research before promoting any treatments blindly. So that's something really I thought was very useful. But then the negative things is, I think the debates could be more effective if the groups were smaller and there was more time to debate. Thus, the class size needs to be far less than 70 students. It's beyond our control. Sometimes the classes were 50. This particular class was 80 and plus, and some right now I have a class which is 100 students, so it's very hard, but that's one thing definitely I do understand. How the debates allowed some members of a particular group to contribute very little or not contribute at all because it's a group project. I would like to see more of a debate back and forth battle. It's a usual complaint in a group project. Some people still, I don't know how they slide through and they don't work at all. Make it worth more points or half the amount of articles, because time is a main. The only negative aspect of this activity is the very time consuming, so that's something which they don't want to spend, and they always come and argue that it's only a 2-unit course and you want making us do so much work and it's not something right. The prep work was a drag and seemed like it was a little forced. Some was necessary, but it seemed a little bit much. The debate ended up being a reading of prepared statement. It would be better if we could have a back and forth where they ask question and answer, so which is not possible because within those 2 hours I had to moderate so many teams and get it through, and so it was only 3 weeks of team debating was a lot. So challenges, it does not motivate still everyone. Usual difficulties in group projects are still there even with this kind of active learning technique, and it still needs time consuming, not from the student perspective, also from the faculty perspective, to look into various sections and to give them some grades, and no follow-up course to review, refine, and apply this knowledge. That's another challenge, although we are trying to inculcate some kind of information and knowledge, so that it's always a challenge. So in conclusion, I just wanted to say that it is important to increase research literacy among CAM students. No matter what the challenges are, we still have to start doing it. Otherwise, the main purpose is, if CAM has to grow and has to be part of mainstream, at least as to be accepted into the mainstream as a healthcare system, we have to speak in their language. If this is the only language which would actually bridge the particular gap between the two, West mainstream medicine and CAM profession. Active learning methods could be an alternative to overcome the indifference and lack of motivation and create interest in these students. And there was a nice haunted house here. It disappeared from when it was transferred. Sorry, but at least I have this for you all. Happy Halloween. In a few minutes, we are going to go for trick-or-treat, right? I guess. Okay, thank you.